This is Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba. Plan Bay Area aims to improve the region's overall well-being. That includes environmental changes, like finding better ways to cut greenhouse gas emissions. California's cap and trade program sets limits on how much carbon polluters can emit, like smoke from a factory, for instance, and it allows them to trade what are called carbon offsets for the ability to pollute more. That trading happens in a marketplace, but just like any marketplace, it's not as simple as it sounds. There's a complicated system in place that measures pollution and determines when and how polluters can trade for carbon credits, all with precise calculations and not so easy to follow procedures. But the folks at the San Francisco Public Press have taken it upon themselves to break it all down and simplify what cap and trade means and how it really works. And what better way to simplify a complex system than turn it into a board game? Michael Stoll is executive director of the San Francisco Public Press, and Anna Vignier is a reporter and illustrator there. They both joined me in studio to play some California cap and trade.
The yellow pieces represent smokestacks. They are allowances for each space on the board to pollute. They represent the productivity of each spot.
Okay, and what do the paper clips represent on the board?
Yeah, these should be little plastic pieces that are that look like little light bulbs, and those represent R&D, innovation. We started out with the red smokestacks representing the ability to pollute that you could buy and sell.
So as you go around the board, you can land on something that says, hey, you can pollute. Here's some smokestacks.
And players can trade with each other.
And you are who? You're a polluter.
You're a polluter. Everybody in the game is a polluter. You can play up to 8 players, but every space on the board has to be owned by somebody. This is part of the idea of the trading system. You're just trading the ability to pollute, trading profits back and forth when you spend money and earn money on the products and services that you create. But there are also these other elements aside from the smokestacks, such as the innovation and such as the carbon offsets, which are represented by little plastic trees. And each of them works in subtly different ways. For example, the trees allow you to keep an extra smokestack every time you pass go. Normally what happens is that every time you pass go, you have to give up one of the smokestacks. That's the idea behind the cap. And you go around the board enough times, and essentially, if you're playing with the maximum 8 players, you go from 80 smokestacks down to 40. Hmm. That's the idea of cutting pollution by a huge margin.
Without going broke.
No money disappears from the board.
Okay, so I'm rolling the dice. Here we go.
That's 6 and 4.
Rolled
6.
A 10. And in doing so, I passed go. So that means that I lose 1 smokestack.
Okay, so you put this in the middle of the board and that disappears.
So you put your smokestack when you lose it in the middle of the board. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what did you land on and what does it say?
So I landed on a factory space. Every space on the board represents 1 facility in California. Hmm. I landed on a paper manufacturing facility, the Kimberly-Clark Worldwide facility, which is in Fullerton. And their 2011 emissions were 63,624 metric tons of carbon dioxide. I landed on Michael's space. This is his facility. Mm-hmm. So since I landed on it, I have to pay him $20 because he has 1 smokestack on his space. So that's his profit.
Okay, so we got $10 and $10. This is money I put in the bank.
Yes.
So okay. You put money in the bank. You lost a smokestack and had to pay money.
Yes. So that means that I'm now not able to pollute as much as I was because I lost the smokestack. So I won't get paid profit for that if someone lands on my spot.
So cap and trade is basically what it comes down to is everybody's given permission to produce a certain amount of pollution. based on what they're already producing or what they should already be producing, more or less.
Everybody who?
Industries, the biggest polluting industries. Mm-hmm. So that includes power plants, oil refineries, cement producers, which is a particularly carbon-intensive activity, but also smaller polluters such as big universities have collectively a large footprint. Some of them have their own power plants, for example, and other types of manufacturers.
So carbon emission on that scale.
Right.
We're not talking about me and you and, you know, my home or my car.
Right. So cap and trade is aimed at addressing most of California's emissions. The idea is to try to bring that into the existing economic system, which the proponents of cap and trade feel is the most effective and efficient way of regulating carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases. It's an unproven theory because nobody has ever tried this before, at least on this scale. There are experiments in Europe, in Canada, in the Northeast corridor of the United States, none of which have really taken off the ground and become really successful markets. In part because the legislation is so complex and there are so many different ways to cheat the system and there are so many ambiguities, but also because none of those systems is large enough to create a global marketplace to address the global need.
All right, so I rolled a 4 and I landed on this summer auction spot, one of 4 spaces on the board that represents the quarterly auctions that go into the cap and trade system. I can offer up smokestacks for sale, or I can buy them from other players who are offering them for sale. And if I want to make some money, if I'm going low on money, I can offer to sell my smokestacks and get some money so I can reinvest that in offsets or research and development light bulbs. Or if I want to buy smokestacks, I can offer a price for them to other players and then place them on my factory spaces. And that would increase the chances of me getting more profit if a player lands on one in the future.
But you only have like $20 left, like 30?
Yeah, so I'm doing much better than Anna is.
Mm-hmm.
And she has some tough decisions to make about how much she's going to pollute in the short term. And I don't know what she's going to decide.
Let's what see. You going to do, Anna?
Okay, I don't have that much money, so I'm going to offer up some of my smokestacks for sale.
Okay, so she's liquidating her productive facilities. So
are you buying?
Well, now that I've got her over a barrel, I'm going to hike up the price.
Ooh.
This is the monopoly aspect to it. I'm going to say I'll sell one smokestack for $20.
This is pretty much how it works in the real world?
Pretty much. You know, it doesn't go from one facility to the other facility.
There's
typically
a central market.
Yeah, it goes into a big computer program, and the highest price at auction is the going price. And when people make a commitment to buy or sell certain numbers of tons of carbon dioxide or the equivalent, they have to pay or buy that much.
Who do you think should play this game? Who are your dream people that, you know, you wish would play your game?
I wish that teenagers who are just trying to figure out how capitalism and the economy works, who are going to be the decision makers way into the future when climate change really starts to take effect, are going to incorporate this into their psyche and really get an intuitive sense of how important the environment is, how important it is to include things like carbon dioxide into the economic calculus and not just consider them externalities. You know, you put it out the smokestack and it disappears. It doesn't disappear. And the economy has to eventually reflect that.